Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 459, the box office report for the week ending March 10th, 2019.
Boom.
I am very tired.
Yeah, you've had a long week? And you've had a long week.
I've had a long week.
Yeah, you've had a long week.
Yeah, we've had.
And then they stole an hour from you.
I know. So we went to Garth last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And how was that?
I mean, he's Garth. You know, he puts on a good show.
I've never seen
Wayne there.
No, sadly.
Damn it.
But it was a little. He was a little rough at the beginning.
Couldn't. When was the last time he toured?
It's been a little bit, and this was the first night of his tour.
You got a little ring rust.
Yeah, and yeah. So when he first started singing, I was like, this doesn't sound all that great. Not awful, but like not like it's my third time seeing him.
Sure.
I thought he, you know.
So he chooses St. Louis to practice his tour.
Yeah. And
he sold that joint out, though, didn't he?
He did. 74,000 tickets sold.
That's amazing when you have someone like that that's been around and just keeps on trucking.
Yeah.
I don't think you could. Is there another act that could pull that off that is current? Seriously.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd call him current.
I guess
anymore.
That's true.
I mean, he put out a single, but it doesn't do count. Like what current acts do. I mean,
but do you mean like U2 or?
Yeah, I guess U2. I don't even know if U2 could do that.
I don't think U2. When U2 played here,
they played Scottrade. Or
they played that
Enterprise
Stadium.
They were going to play the stadium. It got canceled, but not because of them.
Yeah.
Because there was racial unrest.
And yes. So,
St. Louis, it's like, what's going to cancel a show here? Snow, rain, racial unrest.
The riots.
Yeah.
We'll go with the riots.
Stadium holds a good amount, though, right?
Yeah, but a stadium setup is going to hold like 45-ish.
Because they don't do the back.
Yeah, because he did where the Rams used to play.
It was a tiny little stage.
It was a fairly decent-sized stage. But he played where the Rams used to play, and it was in the round. So,
was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's like, I'm getting every single one of these damn tickets I can sell.
He absolutely is.
I honestly don't think there's an act that hasn't been current.
I bet you Taylor Swift could.
Yeah, but she's still current.
Oh, I thought you asked for current acts.
Yeah. Well, I guess Taylor Swift. Well, yeah, because she does like back to back shows. Like she could sell. Yeah, that's true.
I guarantee there's a lot of artists that could sell out that arena.
She played there two shows and did back to back, but I don't think she did in the round. So that's going to shave off.
Bet she could have, though.
That's going to shave off some seats.
No, she didn't. She did. When I worked there, she did.
Well, this was at the Dome, though. You didn't.
Was she at the Dome?
The last time, I'm pretty sure she was at the Dome and did two nights, I thought.
I think she was at Scottrade.
Oh, okay. Well,
her stage is standard stage, and then she would have one that, like, she'd have one in the back.
Right.
So, like
she by the soundboard.
Yes.
So
she'd run around, like, do a little thing back there and then come back to the front. But it was definitely. The only concert that I saw in the round was Metallica, and that did not do 74,000.
No. And then George Strait normally does in the round, but he plays arenas, not stadiums. So.
There you go.
So we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just quick some quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We have a new review.
My gosh, we are on a roll.
You're welcome, guys. I'm just glad that I could provide some insight.
So this is from Z Creek.
I like it.
K-R-E-E-K-E.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like it.
So, and the headline is, awesome podcast.
How did they spell the?
it's A C H phlegm C-H-M.
A phlegm emoji.
Yeah. So they say, love the podcast, love the point of view. I have gone back in the past year and listened to all of them.
Whoa.
Is that mathematically possible?
Well, it depends on when he did it.
Well, he said in the past year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, I mean, you can put on number one and just hit play while you're working, you know, like, 8-10 hours a day.
I appreciate
easily.
That you went back and listened to 1 through 20.
I appreciate that you listened to 1.
They are bad.
I don't know that they're bad, but 1 recording quality, because we were figuring
sure,
it out.
Sure,
that 1.
We hadn't felt.
Levels
hadn't,
were all wrong. I mean,
it was not a good episode.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate. I mean, it's
also because I gave praise to Man of Steel.
Well, you would
just,
never.
To put it in perspective, I'm averaging an hour an episode.
They were those yeah. early ones. We didn't start breaking these up until.
Yeah, but that's also true. But so that's almost 19 days.
Do it.
Yeah, that's easy.
I guess
because you hit play and while you work 10 hours a day. Yeah. I mean,
who's working 10 hours a day?
Well, I'm just. Your lunch break, on the way to work, on the way back to
okay,
work.
I'll give you that one.
Look,
okay,
Joe, not fine. Everybody's as lazy as you are.
I don't think that's where I was going with that.
So,
more like 8.
But thank you
yeah,
for
thank
the nice
you so
review.
Much.
And if you would like to leave one, as we mentioned in the past, you don't have to write a big, long book, although that's great if you do. So if that intimidates you, don't be. Just run on over and be like, love the show, 5 stars.
These guys are good.
We don't want them to run on over and say it because no one else will be able to read that review.
No, they should. We don't
just
care.
Have them run
postcards.
On okay.
Postcards. We'll give out Tom's address.
So
be
Joe
fun.
Will just transcribe it.
Yeah.
They run on over in the window. Love the show. Okay, hold on. Love the show. What do you want your username to be?
Winded 19.
Yeah.
So what? Also, don't forget, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. You can go there. Join the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to join the League of Show Sharers this week: Brad Hyen, Brent Smith, Jason Weese, Richard Lawson, Griffin Fox Smith, Julianne Jordan, Chris Sanders, Tammy Sherman Powers, Travis Tewitt, Ron Johnson, Lane Levanway, Tom Comiskey, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Timmy Tuzoons, Chris James, Chris Magic Man, and Ralph Tribble. And of course, last but not least, our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you can get all sorts of bonus content and maybe even find your way onto the show.
That's right.
And coming up on the next show, when we tackle Captain Marvel, we will have a longtime listener, League of Show Sharers, members, and Patreon subscriber, Linnea Thunsell.
Yes.
She's
one of the early adopters.
Yes, and yeah. She was very patient in the weeks and weeks it took me to learn how to say her name. So
true.
We appreciate that. So there you go. There is all of that. I guess we will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin.
I do, Tom. And number one at the box office, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
I was thinking it was going
to
be Green Book.
Oh, yeah. With $175 million, Green Book. but no, of course, the number one movie of the week is Captain Marvel. The question is, by how much? Early estimates said $100. Weekend estimates after Thursday night said 150. Now we're looking at 175 million.
That is a
massive
opening.
That's up toward the top. I mean, we've had, I think Infinity War maybe was, or it was
Infinity,
either Black Panther around 200.
Both of
I mean,
them.
They're,
both
they were
of
around
had,
200 opening.
Yeah, they
but
had
I mean,
ridiculous openings.
But for this movie, this is her first movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is a character that came out of nowhere in this universe.
Sure.
All of a sudden, hey, wait a minute, what's this pager?
Right.
And then she's
They announced her.
I think he means within the storyline.
Oh,
sure.
People don't know her other than this pager, and then
yes.
She comes out with a movie.
So how does this do compared to Wonder Woman? Let's pit women against each other.
I am curious.
I think that's
like,
always fun.
It's a fair question though. So online, with there's a lot of crazy stuff online.
It's a lot of crazy
and,
stuff.
I mean, we don't have. It goes without saying the trolls are d-bags and they need to go away. Like
and
that whole
did
thing.
They, so did Rotten Tomatoes actually delete a bunch of reviews?
Yeah.
Okay.
But so. There's it's
Which
a whole,
I don't care.
It would
like
take an hour to get into it, but those people are D-bags, whatever. There's just been a lot of discussion about, you know, female superheroes, women in film. International Women's Day was Friday, the release of this film and all that. And so,
you think Disney paid for that? Has International Women's Day
I don't think that was just created.
Disney was just like, we should get this out and release our movie on the same day.
I think releasing it was a smart, calculated decision.
Smart. Yeah.
But so there's been discussion. Of course, there's people that love Wonder Woman, people that prefer that, people whatever. It doesn't have to be a competition, but I feel the two movies are trying to accomplish right. similar things. So it's a fair question to ask.
Sure.
Neither of them have to compete. Like, it's not a this or that, but it is relevant to, yeah. to see how they, you know, open.
It would be interesting to see what that is, given Marvel's track record going into Captain
and
Marvel.
Wonder Woman is a much more established property, so you would
Correct.
Think that Wonder Woman should do better just because it's a name. It's got a much greater name recognition
yeah.
than Captain Marvel.
Well, so Marvel has established a brand.
Yes.
Marvel is sure. synonymous with quality,
Absolutely.
Right? Wonder Woman coming off of bad DC movies.
Two bad
so,
DC movies.
So, you know, you've got to
yeah.
keep all that
Three,
in consideration. So I think the fact that Marvel, for Captain Marvel, tying into Infinity War Part 2, which is
right.
what I like to call it, tying into the universe and the bigger thing that's about to come out in a couple months, like that definitely gives it a boost. But Wonder Woman opened to $103 million.
That's wow.
So
it.
$70 million less.
Here's the thing about Captain Marvel, though, is... In probably since 2003, Marvel Comics, the comic book, have put an emphasis on Carol Danvers. Carol Danvers has been front and center in a lot of the Avengers books. She's had a lot of solo series, more so than Wonder Woman. Like, Wonder Woman kind of has that established role in the DC comic book verse, and that never really changed.
But let me play devil's advocate, though. This $175 million.
Yeah.
10% might be comic books readers. So
that's
that
probably
really
true.
Doesn't matter to the movie-going audience. Like, yeah. people turned out to support women in film.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so much going on. And I appreciate the comics that she's been in there, but Marvel superhero movies and superhero movies in general have just become...
Well, what I'm trying to get at is not only has Carol Danvers gone front and center in the comic books, but I think that she, with the animated stuff, I think she's in there as well. So that where Wonder Woman's not like Wonder Woman doesn't have
animated.
Like, yeah. Like that Avengers cartoon. I think she's on that. Like there was those runs of like Ultimate Spider-Man, the Hulk, yeah. Agents of Smash
oh, okay.
or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And I think
I was
were
thinking
of,
movies. Cause I'm
no,
like,
no,
Wonder
no,
Woman's
no,
in
no.
a lot of movie of the animated movies.
She's in all of them. For
yeah.
the most
I mean,
part. Well,
yeah.
the Justice League stuff.
Yeah.
At least. But like on TV,
okay.
that is more accessible to younger viewers as well.
Gotcha.
So I think that helps as well.
Because I'm with Tom. Like, I bet you if you survey, I bet 9 out of 10 people couldn't tell you anything about Captain Marvel, but they could tell you Wonder Woman's Diana.
Sure, sure.
She had a TV show. I mean, Wonder Woman is an established,
Absolutely.
Established property.
Maybe people went because they thought it was Captain Marvel was a dude.
I mean,
yeah, yeah. I bet there was a lot of confusion.
It would explain why Wonder Woman earned 75 cents on the dollar.
But yeah, it's interesting. You know, I really do think it just has to do with, I mean, not only the stuff about women and the controversy and people trying to support women and all that, but I mean, it's the Marvel machine.
It is the Marvel machine.
This
yeah.
is
it
number
has,
23 or so.
Yeah,
I mean, in 10 years,
having that Marvel banner and having the backing of Marvel and Disney at this point, like it's they could put out.
They could
Anything.
Put out Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Then
You'd
they
go
did,
see it.
And I would go see it.
Yeah, yeah. but I
yeah,
mean,
they'd really have to crap the bed.
I mean, big time
for yeah, either big time or a few movies in a row.
Sure,
I think for people to abandon them at this point.
Yeah.
And so I think it really comes down to at this point they could pick pretty much any character from the Marvel Universe,
whatever we
make
got.
A movie out of it. And people yeah.
at least 100
are people are going to roll with it.
It's
yeah.
an event.
Yeah.
I mean, when a new Marvel movie comes out, you go see the new Marvel movie, fill in the blank. Like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just, oh, new Marvel movie. We got our Friday night covered. It's just become a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's what you do. Right.
And I think it's a good idea that they've rolled it back a little bit. As far as like content.
Like not doing as many
yes.
in a year, like
so
four
I think,
in a year.
I think four, in, even
four
three.
In a year.
Yeah,
when
did that.
They do four in a year?
Well, I mean, maybe not in a year, but at least like I feel like Iron Man, Hulk, and Iron Man 2 and Thor were really.
Yeah.
It may
yeah.
not have been the same year, but like they were really
yeah.
close
they were, like,
to each other.
Maybe not the same calendar year,
right.
but like within a year,
yeah.
of
within
each
365.
Other. Yeah.
I think, if I remember right, like
yeah.
they were cranking them out, and then they've scaled it
I do feel like
back.
There was a period where we were almost getting one a quarter.
And I think it wasn't
wow.
helping that we were getting X-Men movies, we were getting
sure.
Marvel movies, DC movies, we were getting Fox Spider-Man movies. Like, it was... We were inundated yeah. with comic book stuff.
There was that Condor Man series
there
on
was.
Crackle.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, I think that since Marvel has scaled theirs back to at least... I even think three's a little much. But
oh, I wouldn't
if
do
if,
more
if,
than two
if
a
you
year.
Do, if you do like like this one, like a March, and yeah. then we have a May, and then you have a December or November. I feel like that's reasonable.
I think it helps too that like that because it's a Disney property, they can back off.
Sure.
Right? Like they have to give themselves room now for a Star Wars movie.
Absolutely.
And for two Disney animated pictures.
Right.
They don't want to compete with their own.
Right.
Money.
Like,
yeah.
So they have to give themselves breathing room. So, you know, I think initially it was like, hey, we need Marvel to make 3 or 4 movies a year.
Right.
And now they're like, you know what? We can do 2. Let's not kill this cash cow because we've got 5 other cash cows.
Yeah, we've got Frozen 2 coming
right.
out or,
yeah.
you know, the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, we could do a Toy Story 4 or a Frozen 2 or, you know, like they
sprinkle
have
in the Star Wars.
Yeah, throw in a Star Wars for good measure. Even if it stumbles, we're still going to make $700 million
right.
internationally. And, you know, well, that's not true. The Star Wars movies don't do as good internationally.
They rely on that domestic box office.
So, yeah, huge opening for them, 175 estimated. I wouldn't be surprised if it keeps going up, but those are the estimates we have right now toward the end of the weekend. And it's already made over $127 million overseas, even before final estimates. So
does it have a budget?
I'm pretty sure it has a budget. I don't see it, though.
That's my question.
They threw it into Infinity War. They're like, on the side here, can you just film this and like roll
budget?
It into
yeah,
that's
fine. Was Infinity yeah. War.
You're looking over $300 million opening weekend worldwide.
Doing all right.
Wonder Woman ended up with $800 million plus at the worldwide box office.
I'm showing a budget of $152.
Man, that's low.
Okay.
I was going to say, that seems a little light for a Marvel movie.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it seems light for a Marvel movie. I think it sounds right for this one just because there's a lot of just kind of...
Uh-huh.
Talking and hang, you know what I mean? It's not like an Avengers movie where it's just like insane nonstop special effects. Like,
and you got a lot of talent fees in an Avengers movie
that
you don't
true.
Have. In
yeah,
this.
You've got
sure.
3, 4.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe. Well, you know, they get, Samuel Jackson's, I'm sure, umbrellaed under his 45
right. oh,
picture
that's
deal.
True. That's yeah. true.
They're just like they we'll just get, have. We'll get, he's got a punch card,
yeah, right.
and they're just like.
He's like, can you punch these off a little faster so I can get paid again? Like, I would like a new contract.
I'm sure he's doing all right.
You need me back? All right.
He's like, you know what? We'll get into it.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, good for that movie. We'll get into that one next episode, as Joe said. Number 2, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. So the third movie and the conclusion to the trilogy. Go listen to that episode from a couple weeks ago. It made an estimated $16.4 million.
My goodness.
So 45% drop. It's up to $121.7 million. $300 million overseas.
So wait. Captain Marvel made how much in its first week?
175.
Worldwide?
Oh, 300.
And what did How to Train Your Dragon make in its third week in release?
400.
Okay. Like, that's, I mean, the fact that Captain Marvel came within a ball hair of
an established, super popular
in
franchise.
One week.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. We said it like when Disney bought Marvel for $4 billion and then they bought Star Wars for $4 billion. It's like, those are deals.
I feel like the Marvel deal back then was, could it, like, that one made more sense as far as, like, that's not exactly a steal, but. You know, it's a decent bump for Marvel. The Lucasfilm thing was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's insane.
But the Marvel, nothing had been established yet.
Yeah.
You know, like you had Iron Man. I don't think that they had, was Avengers a Disney movie?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay. But Iron Man wasn't.
Okay.
I don't think Iron Man was. And I don't think
Paramount
Hulk was.
Did,
Hulk was Universal.
Yeah.
And then... So somewhere in that,
I'm pretty sure Avengers. Maybe they didn't. I thought they bought it when Avengers.
I thought so too, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's. Geez.
But what I'm saying is, like,
it's been 10 years now, which is crazy.
I know.
You know,
there was no established, like, they hadn't established themselves yet.
But the potential
that is,
I
true.
Mean, when they saw what Iron Man was doing, when
right.
they saw that, plus you had Spider-Man, plus you
didn't
had X-Men,
Spider-Man. Didn't have X-Men.
No. When they saw what comic book movies were doing.
Oh, sure,
I said,
sure.
Plus
sure.
you had those two.
I got you.
When you see that and then you say, we can buy this with all these characters, like, they're smart and
yeah.
they did it and they make it back in one, you know, that's, each of these big movies makes $1 billion,
right.
1.5 billion, like,
not including,
it's,
you
just
know,
crazy.
They've made their money back.
And oh, and merchandising?
Some, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's,
yeah, there's so many toys and stuff and something like this. Yeah.
Like it's... with the Lucas stuff, I'm pretty sure they made back that purchase within a year on toys, I think.
Right. Oh, for sure.
I mean, it's just...
For sure.
Lucas, George, when he made that deal back in the day with Fox.
Oh, where he was like, I get the toys,
you get the
movies.
Oh, my. Yeah. I own the property and the toys, and you get to make the money on these VHSs.
He's
or whatever.
Like, yeah, go for it.
It's just amazing. I love that. Like, we could do a whole podcast on that with Jack Nicholson and Batman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Lucas.
He's,
I mean,
still getting paychecks for Batman.
Yeah, it's just fascinating to see, like, sometimes when you have these agents and you make these deals,
that,
it's like...
That series on Netflix, is it the
Toys That Made Us?
Oh, Toys That Made Us. Oh, man. Yeah. Such a great series about... You know, He-Man and Barbie and G.I. Joe and all that, Star Wars.
Like, each one of those episodes really is like a little documentary. Like,
oh,
They're solid quality.
Absolutely.
Each one is the level of, like, you know, if you were at a film festival and one episode was up there as a documentary, you'd be like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Really well made. So
very well made.
They keep, I think, they did a second season, and I think they're working on another, like, that's a popular series.
I need to get those DC's toys. That's what I need.
Oh,
there was like a DC superhero, like superpowers line.
Yeah.
And then there was like the Marvel Secret Wars line. Oh, those were my figures first.
It's a lot of retirement money sitting around there in people's basements that they might not even know about.
As long as they're in the box.
Yep. So, yeah. How to Train Your Dragon 3, though, over $400 million. And was this week? This is week three, yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, doing well. Go listen to that episode. I think it was a good conclusion. You know, they're getting into some competition here, though, especially, you know, with this, and they're going to start picking up on more kids' movies and going into the summer. So we'll have to see where it ends up compared to the other ones.
Sony is chomping at the bit to get a Spider-Gwen movie out before the
end
of the year.
Yeah, especially with that Spider-Verse stuff. Like,
yeah.
With that kicking off, who knows how many spinoffs?
Nobody knows.
And it'll be interesting, and I guess they'll keep the same animation. I've never really
thought
about it.
Why would
you
change it?
Right.
I think you almost have to.
Right, because they've kind of set it. It was so unique, and it'll be interesting if now it's like, that's how Sony does animation.
Well,
right?
I'm wondering, like, that's what Miles' world looks like. Or
That was my question, if they would keep
Gwen's
it.
Gwen's world looks like this. And,
right, because Spider-Ham looks so different. Like,
right.
I was wondering, would the different properties keep the Spider-Verse animation? Because I could see them changing it, but also it's so good. Like,
yeah.
I don't want them to.
No.
So, but I also know, if you go watch the special features, that Spider-Verse, I bought it on digital just to get it 2 weeks early. It is packed with special features and the behind the scenes stuff, like how long it took them to make one frame of that movie, one scene, you know, to render it all and everything.
Right.
Unbelievable.
I'll touch on it briefly, is that's, I've been reading comics since I was old enough to read.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even old enough to look at a picture and follow it.
Mm-hmm. So like 17?
Either, give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say like 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to give you the benefit
Thank
of the
doubt. Thank you very much. Yeah. And growing up, it was always a white guy. It was a white guy.
Right.
Always, my entire life. So the fact that in this current climate, we have Miles Morales, Wonder Woman, Carol Danvers, Monica Rambeau, maybe. We'll get into that in the next episode. But you have different Blade, you know, all of these different characters coming from different backgrounds. Like, that's what comics are.
Yeah.
Like, the hashtag comics for everyone I love it.
Absolutely.
Comic books, I mean, the protagonists in comic books have always revolved around someone who was an outsider.
Yes.
And, or at least one from the Marvel age forward.
Yeah, I would say Even Superman to an extent.
Yeah, I guess it's a different kind of outsider. Yeah. But I guess I always think of more of like a weakling kind of outsider.
Sure, sure.
But the Marvel stuff, certainly. Stanley wrote those characters to be.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, so for years, though, it was like, that's what it was about. That's always what those storylines have been about. So now they're just bringing in people who are outsiders, quote unquote, for a myriad of reasons.
Absolutely.
Instead of just the nerdy white guy.
That's what comics were about. Yeah. And you're exactly right. And that's all I'll say on it, because I have very strong feelings about the people who are anti, you can follow
We've
me
all
on
got some strong
you can
words
follow me
them,
on Twitter
though.
To know how often I will target those people for saying stuff that it's garbage.
They're too dumb to realize that they're everything they claim to hate.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
exactly it.
You're like at some point you're reading Spider-Man and rooting for Flash.
Yeah. They forgot those characters became
Thompson.
Popular.
What's that?
Thompson.
Right. Yeah.
Not the Flash.
Well, that's a different universe. Yeah. Come on.
They don't know that.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But they're forgetting that they love these characters, and these characters became popular for them. Stan Lee created Peter Parker, the nerdy white guy that had trouble with school and being picked on and to get the girl and everything, so you could relate to him.
Yeah.
That was an example of radical representation. You didn't see nerds.
No, you saw Barry Allen, you saw Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, Hal Jordan. Like, you saw these big white, you know, all American white dudes, and then you get Peter Parker, who's the skinny 98-pound weakling,
right?
Who can't get the girl, can't talk to the girl, super awkward, and then he gets all these powers. It's
And now look at today, and now you have other people that are underrepresented,
yeah,
and their voices aren't being heard. And then you, John Q. Neckbeard, are in your basement,
yeah,
saying, they're trying to take this away from
away
me.
From
and it's
me.
Like, that was you. Like, your voices were not being heard. I mean,
that goes
Tom grew up with comic books. I mean, you know, when comic books were super uncool, like, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Today, but
yeah,
now we
true.
Get to live in a world where comic books are awesome, right? So, like, those people that are complaining.
Well, they were always awesome. They
no,
were
but those people that are complaining. Like, their world was changed, and now they get to enjoy it. Now you've got these other people that want the same thing, and you're going to take that away from them?
It's all, you know, like, the X-Men were created as a look at homosexuality, yeah, and things like that. And
well, that guy that wrote the original book that he stole all that
sure,
from.
Right. What a great
Joe and I
so
at Comic-Con, real quick, I think
so
we
great.
Told the story, but,
set up,
but
yeah,
some guy
was, yeah,
was at Comic-Con and had the nerve to ask, you know, 93-year-old Stanley, well, there was this other book that no one's ever heard of,
right,
you know, in parentheses here, that blah, 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 said this, that. Did you have any, did you read that when you created them? And he just was, you know, smart as a whip, went on to reference it, brought it back around, but anyway, great.
Took a stab at this guy. And it's just, yeah, and I saw people online who were just like, no, that's not what the X-Men were about. And it's just like, that's exactly what they were, yeah, about. Like, there's a whole amazing graphic novel. This one was a graphic novel. It was God Loves Man Kills. Like, it was this Chris Claremont, Brent Anderson did this oversized book. And that's exactly what it, like, they use the N-word in this book. Like, they call Kitty Pryde, like, it, because it's, there's a group of, like, people who hate mutants who are just just a racist hate group,
yeah,
and Kitty Pryde is Jewish, and they take shots at,
gotcha,
Kitty Pryde for being Jewish,
I mean,
they take shots at Storm
mutants,
for being,
it's, that's what being a mutant, you know, being an outsider, being someone that's different, I mean, that's exactly what
that was about.
Well, and you know, and I follow Griffin Newman from Blank Check on Twitter, and he always has great things to say,
Newman.
But he retweeted someone that was, you know, taking shots or whatever, the X-Men. He's like, the X-Men are literally a group of social justice warriors.
It was Ethan Van Sciver.
Was it?
Yes.
He said, they're literally a group of social justice warriors. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the threat I was talking about.
And that's the guy?
That's the guy.
What a, I knew nothing, but last,
yeah,
week Joe mentioned,
yes,
you know, this person, I didn't know who he was, but that's funny.
That's my point. And I think I retweeted, I was like, he made a comment about how much money it made, and I was like, it's a shame that this, you know, scumbag will never do anything,
yeah,
that is as important or influential as this movie. And it was just like, oh,
so
that's all,
yeah,
I'll say. You know, I, like I said, if,
well,
you want to follow me on Twitter,
plenty,
you'll see it all. Like, I don't pull my punches.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll get into more of the Captain Marvel stuff and all that next week. But How to Train Your Dragon, doing quite well. Coming in at number three, Tyler Perry's A Madea Family Funeral, $12.7 million, a 53% drop, $46.2 million. No budget, but I think, you know, I mean, he just goes to his bank, withdraws what he needs,
yeah, right,
and then makes $100 million. So, I mean, before this weekend, there was about a $40 million estimate, small overseas number, so not doing huge things over there. But yeah, I can't imagine this thing isn't making a ton of money. So, as
no,
they do.
It's,
yeah,
I mean, it's also good counter programming.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Number, hold on here. That was a weird jump. It went from 3 to 5 on one of these pages. I'm like, huh? Coming in at number 4, the Lego Movie 2, the second part, made $3.2 million. So, guess Captain Marvel stole,
yeah,
all their,
right,
money on that one.
And Dragon.
And Dragon. Oh, certainly, yeah. So, you know, it's kind of crazy to think the Lego 2 movie is going to be out of theaters here before long. I mean, it can't last much longer.
I wouldn't have thought that it would have made less than How to Train Your Dragon 3.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
With the first one and how successful it was, it really is a head-scratcher. We talked about it before. I mean, we have our theories, but it's crazy to me that it would do this poorly. $96 million domestic is its total so far. 63 overseas. I mean, this movie's doing nothing for what,
know,
it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
right,
I'll take $150 million, but I mean, the Lego movie, the sequel to the highly successful, spawning
massively
a series,
successful.
Yeah, it's just crazy. So anyway, so we're just, you know, around the $170 million mark worldwide as it's, you know, quickly getting out of the top 10 here. So we'll see what that does. Number 5, Alita: Battle Angel Alita. $3 million is a 58% drop, $78 million domestic for that one. Now, are you ready for the worldwide?
Yes, yeah,
we
am.
Talked about this and the different countries that are estimated to alone save this movie.
Yeah.
So before the final estimates for this weekend, It's already made $285 million overseas.
Good Lord.
So it's after this weekend, it's going to be up over 300 overseas. So with the domestic take, I mean, we're approaching $400 million on a $170 million budget. Again, it's not setting the world ablaze, but they're making their money back. It's not one of those flops like, you know, how did this happen? It's
right.
Making, you know, it's going to make its money back. And if it continues to do so well overseas, like, you know, there's a slower rollout there because in China, they're limited to the amount of movies that they can release over there. And they have all, you know, they want to show their movies in theaters.
I also really think that this one has more passion behind it than Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the, you know, I feel like Ghost in the Shell was just like, what property do we own? Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Fine.
I do feel like Ghost in the Shell was kind of, like the Americanized take on
right.
the culture.
And
whereas
this
you
one
can tell,
felt like more of the, yeah. there's a passion. But
you can tell there's a love for the
yes.
property.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, I enjoyed Ghost in the Shell. I know I'm pretty much alone there. Like, I enjoyed it. It's not perfect. But this movie, you can just tell that there is that passion.
Right.
So you can appreciate
right.
that.
So I guess we'll be getting a Alita Battle Angel Liang.
What is that?
That's how you say two in Chinese.
Did you just do that just now?
I Googled
it. I mean,
it.
That's fair.
It's a solid joke, but you do have to know. But bravo for taking the effort.
No problem.
That. I mean,
that's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive.
So, you know, when there's long periods of silence, I'm not always peeing. Sometimes
I'm Googling other stuff.
Sometimes I'm Googling how to get the punchline right.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, $400 million on a 170 so far. We'll see what that continues to do overseas. Number six, Green Book, still making money. $2.8 million brings it up to $80.3 million total domestic, a 39% drop. And it's actually made $126.9 million overseas. I didn't realize there was
yeah,
such a...
That's, see, I noticed that the other day as well, and I was like, well, that's more than I would have thought. Yeah,
it's a 61, you know, or let's say a 62-38% split right now
yeah,
overseas to, I mean, that very surprising. Good for it. It only had a $23 million budget. So clearly the Oscar buzz and the Best Picture win
yeah.
helped it out there and is continuing to do so, but up over $200 million worldwide.
That's, I mean, good for it.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't have a hate for it. I know people on the board mentioned the other day. And like, first of all, we criticized it before we saw it. And I don't mean criticize like ignorantly, but yeah. what I mean is we thought what it was going to be. We didn't
right.
know the story. We hadn't seen it. So we thought what the trailer sold us, like, this is what it is. But I mean, when we talk about the controversy and all that, like when I was explaining to Joe, like why I think people are getting outraged and I talk about the white savior, that's perception. I'm not saying it is this and it's horrible.
Sure.
I just mean people are perceiving it as, oh, the white savior, and it's just another one of these stories and all that. But I mean, at the end of the day, when I saw it, I really enjoyed it. Like, I laughed a lot at it. I thought it was funny, heartfelt, and I didn't have the problems everyone else did. Do I think it was Best Picture? No. But I think that it was a solid movie.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't understand the hate. I think people love to hate.
Think that people will manufacture any sort of outrage they can yeah. just so they have something to say.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just sitting here like, well, at least Bohemian Rhapsody didn't win Best Picture. I mean, if you like it, that's fine. But I'm like, God, that thing was winning every award
that
up until.
That had no business. You know what? The only award that had business being up for was Best Actor. Yeah. He deserved to be in the running.
In the run, yes.
Yes. Do I think he should have won? No.
But man,
I think he'd absolutely deserve to be.
You deserve a nod.
Yes.
That, yeah.
And I think also you can add, sure, does Oscar winning Rami Malek look good, you know, on your on your poster? Of course.
Well, whoever, yeah.
But I also
that,
think
yeah.
Academy Award, you know, Best Actor nominated, you know, that also looks just as good.
Oh, sure. And most people don't. The consumer that goes by and sees the little Oscar and the name, I mean, nominated in Stephen Baldwin font, Academy Award in Alec Baldwin font.
Sure.
So, but anyway, but the whole point is to, at the end of the day, what you have to remember, fine listeners, is that if you like a movie, that's great. We all like a lot of movies that are not considered quote unquote good, right? There's a lot of you out there that don't like Hackers, I'm sure. A lot of you that don't like Monster Squad.
Well,
a lot of
wrong.
People that don't like Fort Fairlane.
What?
I mean, yeah, well, okay. But, you know, it's
there's
like,
a contingent of us.
What?
At the end of the day, a film critic's job is to criticize film based on their knowledge, their experience, their education. I mean, it's our job to do this, but at the end of the day, if you like a movie, we're not taking that away from
no,
you.
Heck no, heck
at all. Like, love what you love. We all like our deep fried tacos. We all have them. So, you know, but it is our job to say, well, we don't think this was good and they could have done this better, but we're not saying like, if you like it, then
you're
crazy.
Wrong.
Yeah. So,
well, there are some things where it's just like,
well, they're not mutually exclusive, but It's a little So anyway, but that's my
I think that's
thank
totally
you for
legit.
Coming to my TED Talk. Yeah. Appreciate it. Let's see here.
I've been calling him Kevin all these years.
So we just started rewatching Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And we got to the episode where they introduce Jared.
Right.
And he's like, he didn't even know mine. He just started calling, my name's Ronald. I've just always gone by Jared because that's what he called me.
I need to keep watching it. I started it, you know, and especially based on your recommendation. So it is really funny. It's one of those things that I stopped watching, got busy, and for no reason, didn't pick
so
it up.
So many shows anymore.
Because then Umbrella Academy comes out, and then these documentaries come out.
I end up binge watching just
because
I'll forget to go back to it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I got to knock it out now while it's top of mind.
Right, because your cue, and I mean your cue from all services, whether it be movies, books, TV, it's growing.
It's endless.
And Tom and I talked off air about this the other day where I'm just trying to wrap my head around the business model of these streaming services because they are throwing so much money in. And for example, and I believe we did talk about this off air too, is Bird Box. Huge movie, biggest viewership of any Netflix movie, memes about it all day long for a week. And then who talks about Bird Box now?
Yeah.
So what did they gain for paying all that money and all the publicity and stuff? I mean, people enjoyed it.
Do you think somebody would even subscribe? Also, who doesn't have Netflix at this point? Honestly.
It's a very small amount.
Yeah. And I mean, if you don't have it, you're stealing it. Yeah. You have somebody else's login info.
But is Bird Box going to make you subscribe if you aren't already?
Right, right.
But I also get they have to continuously put out content.
Also true.
Or you'll be like,
I'm going to get rid of it.
I haven't seen anything I cared about in a long time.
Right.
You know? No, totally. But the point is, though, is you get these movies, but then they dump 50 others in 1 month and they're spending something like $2 billion a year or whatever. And so at the end of the day, it's just, it is a head scratcher, to understand how are they justifying or deciding.
The Disney one is the head scratcher.
Why is that?
Well, if they're going to release,
they've got the catalog,
which is fine. Yeah. I guess that's true. I guess that's the difference.
It's just sitting there.
But
and
I mean,
they can unload it.
Wouldn't you just want to? If it were me, I would say, okay, at launch day, we're going to have 20, whatever. You know, you're going to have your list of things, but don't release everything right away.
Well, I'll give you two reasons, and you can go ahead.
Oh well, I think. I know that they're saying that it's going to have every movie, every Disney movie ever made. Yeah. Obviously, it won't because there are some that they're never going to put on.
Do you think that ever will?
No, not on that streaming service. It's
certainly not on the
friendly,
streaming.
Yeah.
If you ever see Song of the South released, it's going to be how they used to do those Disney 10s.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Where it's going to be really
a sneaky one.
It's going to be designed for cinephiles.
It's going to be a Criterion level.
And it's going to be expensive, and it's going to be a lot of let's look at this in historical context. And you know what I mean? It's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
But
I have a beautiful restoration of that movie. I have a original film print upscaled in 4K, Blu-ray, amazing quality. Someone went through and did it.
Where did you get that?
The internet. Someone found the best living original print of Song of the South, scanned it in 4K, color correct, all this stuff. It's ridiculous. Star Wars restorations when they went from VHS to DVD to then seeing the Blu-rays and the jumps that they made. That movie, the quality of it, it's crazy. So it's out there, and there's amazing versions of these out there. So if they ever decide to do it, it's just pulling the trigger. And what they have to combat is the controversy and they have to outweigh is releasing this for historical
do you release it with a commentary track from somebody who is an activist
it's a lose-lose situation
so that's why I think if you ever see it, it'll be something like that but my larger point is I know that their push right now is that it's going to have every Disney movie ever made and I think that will be for the most part accurate, but I also think that or can't help but point out, they never said it's always going to be that way.
Right.
That's
so
true.
They do that at the beginning, they get you in, and then I think you'll quietly maybe start seeing titles get pulled, and then maybe they'll go to
back into the vault.
Yeah,
so
go back to the circulating them in and out in order to kind of jumpstart.
It's a valid concern. I don't think they will. So here's my two points on why I think they will release everything and probably keep it that way. Number one, they want a jump start of subscribers, right?
And that'll do that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's point number one. So they want their stock to go up. They want to make millions and millions, tens of millions, day one in the bank, whatever. And then number two, I think that they're going to be asking for $15 a month. I don't think it's going to be $7.99
like
Hulu.
I even feel like $15 a month is reasonable.
No, I do too. But yeah. Like, they have to justify that because they're Disney. They can charge $15 a month as opposed to Netflix's $12, which sure. used to be $10. Hulu with ads is $7. They can charge $15, but they want to keep you every month and they want to justify it. So I think that they're going to get more per month by releasing that whole catalog. And it's just sitting there. I mean, they have such
valid
expansive collection. But I think people would be really hurt by the bait and switch of that. So valid. I mean, it could happen, but
I'm not saying it's going to be 6 months from now.
Totally.
But I could see down the road when it's three years out. Yeah, when it's matured and they have lots of original content.
And sure. They are going to crank that stuff out.
That's a good point, though. Once people know Disney Plus, love it, live it, their kids watch it every day, and they say, hey, we're making some changes, we're going to give you this, but we're going to blow, like, totally. I thought you meant, like, 6 months down the line.
I don't think they'd do that, but I could see, like, once it's an established property, because I think the other problem they're going to run into is that part of what keeps these characters top of mind is that they would put them in the vault, and every 7 or so years, they'd pull them back out, and there'd be a whole new marketing push to remind you about
Lion
Pinocchio
King.
or Snow White or Lion King.
But you know what? They haven't done that for a long time.
But they still
re-release stuff, and I guess it's working. Like, so I have 3 different versions of Aladdin.
What versions do you have?
They'll put them out with different
diamond,
bonus features.
Diamond, signature. Platinum. It's just, platinum. So I have all these different versions of these movies. That's even after the vault went away. So, like, they've done a really good job of not withholding this stuff from people. And because, you know, on the internet, stuff is so readily available.
Sure.
If you don't sell it, guess what? You're going to go buy a used copy. And Disney doesn't make that money. So they're smart enough to do that. And
we couldn't sell those at Blockbuster. When we were closing, the ones that were considered in the vault, we pulled. Didn't pull them all.
There were a few in the drop ceiling
is where a few of those ended up.
Yeah, but I mean, so, you know, I'm so glad they got rid of that. But the thing is, when you see all these releases, like, they're
a place for your ceiling other than the top?
Drop.
Oh, I thought you said drop ceiling.
No.
It was like this.
Wait.
So my concern with the Disney thing, here's the thing that I am worried about. So, you know, they're going to charge, I think, probably $15. They're going to get a ton of people there.
What do you think would be the top price? Like, what do you think would be the price?
You can't go over 15.
Yeah, I think
they're not going to pay 20 a month.
I was thinking 15 or 16 would be.
15 is what you're paying right now for, like, HBO.
Yeah.
And I don't think they can
go over
that. And
Netflix is creeping. So when you're
Netflix
Disney.
Netflix is 12. I pay 12 because I have 4K.
I think it went up to $12.99 just recently.
That's what I mean. Like 12, oh, so I'm paying 13.
So when you're Disney and you have that expansive catalog, you can charge 15. But if you put 20, even $19.99 on that's too much.
Isn't that weird how $4.
Yeah,
like, that's what it is. And you're just
mental.
Like, I don't like the way that looks.
But then you go out to dinner and buy a $9 glass of wine.
Exactly.
It's so strange.
Wow, look at Fancy Pants over here.
Oh, I don't drink wine.
$9 glass of wine.
But my point is,
$3 chuck.
It's so weird how people just
get the $4 tumbler.
It's so funny how the mind, and this is just human nature, but people will condition, like, oh, I don't want to spend this on that. Like, I bought something for work the other day, and Katie, you know, just at first glance, she's like, oh, that's kind of expensive. And I'm like, yeah, but if we go out to dinner for $40 one time, or we buy a case of beer for $20, I'm like, this is a work thing to further my work,
right?
You know, and it's a write off, and it's like, it's only this one time charge. You know what I mean? So it's funny how a number can jump out at people, but then 3 tiny little things that are here and gone are just like, that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what
right? Yeah. Anyway, my concern, going back to my concern about this, is, though, they're going to release their whole catalog for $15 a month.
Right.
I think Captain Marvel is going to be the first movie on there, the new movie that's going to jumpstart things.
Yeah.
So as they keep coming out with new movies, so every time they come out with a new Blu-ray, you go to the store and spend $22.99. Well, if you've got $15.99 streaming service, you're not spending $20 on Blu-rays. So they've made $15 and they've lost $20, you know, whatever profit is on that.
Right.
I think
of those people that subscribe, they're basically guaranteeing 1 Blu-ray purchase a month.
Yeah, totally. But they're going to start seeing those numbers go down.
Right.
And that is when I think they'll scramble and start changing the model, because
I think physical media is going to go the way of the collector's market.
Totally.
Yeah. But here's the problem with physical media, with not having physical media, like, they can take it away from you.
That's true.
Yeah. They could take it away from you for any for a myriad of reasons.
You mean the digital stuff or the physical stuff?
The digital stuff.
Sure.
Like, you could be like, oh, I have access to all these things, but all of a sudden, Michael Jackson was on an episode of The Simpsons.
Gone.
And you don't have it anymore.
That's right.
And but I've got my DVD
I've
set.
I've got my DVD set. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I get why they made the decision they made, but I also get that when it was made that you know, that was still kind of a rumor and conjecture and people didn't know what to think. And so
did that stuff start coming out when
that stuff was around for a long time.
I feel like it did. It was
I think there were a lot of checks written too.
But was it dangerous?
Absolutely. It's not like, oh, he just wasn't.
I mean, there was a major lawsuit.
Yeah, but was that post dangerous or pre dangerous?
I forget exactly.
What was the video that debuted?
But it's not like, oh, he was not found guilty and everyone lived happily. Like was there was a lot of
black and white. So that's dangerous.
Okay.
And I feel like that's when it happened.
Yeah.
It happened right after that. Is because like there was the weird thing with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
And then it was.
But he always. I mean, before that it was Emmanuel Lewis.
Well, it's interesting. I just listened to Last Post.
Corey Feldman was another. Yeah. But guy.
So what they think is that he.
I think he was getting groomed, and then for some reason he didn't pull the trigger.
He looked at those guys as equals. He looked at Macaulay Culkin and Corey Feldman as equals. If you look at the kids that he assaulted,
right?
Weird tangent. Sorry, folks. They were all underprivileged.
Yeah.
So when you look at Macaulay Culkin, at that point, Macaulay Culkin was a superstar.
Huge
Corey
star.
Feldman was
like
a superstar.
That'd be way too risky to even try. Yeah.
Well, I think in his mind, they were on his level.
Right.
Emmanuel Lewis is on his level. Those kids that
Yeah, I mean, he had a hit show at the time.
You know?
Yeah.
Those kids were not on his... I can't... Like, I almost watched it last night, and then we started Silicon Valley
I watched the first half of the first one, and it's just... I got enough from that first half of the first one, right? I mean, what else do I need to... Yeah. It's really gross and really hard to watch.
I don't look forward to watching it, but I feel like I should probably watch
it.
Yeah. I mean, I
definitely plan to. I just haven't had
it. And I didn't say, like, oh, I stopped it. And, like, I'm not going to watch it. Like, it was late. I was getting tired. But, like, to pull the trigger on starting it again, now that I've seen an hour, that's really hard to do because I know... I mean... It's not a
I'm
good...
not laughing. I'm laughing at your situation.
It's like, no, I mean, it's almost like, hey, honey, let's watch Schindler's List. That sounds fun.
It is. I mean,
we started it. We've got an hour into it, but we stopped. Let's go back to it, I guess.
And it's not a well-made documentary, meaning like it's edited pretty poorly. It's not that it's a very well-made movie. It's basically the camera pointed
the
on
content.
Two people for 4 hours telling stories.
Right. Sure.
But yeah, it's hard to watch. And so anyway, I think I'll finish it someday, but it's just like, when am I going to, especially we just talked about being inundated with new material.
Right.
When am I going to choose this documentary over the new Umbrella Academy?
Sure.
Like, you know, it's just like, I have to make that choice. And I feel like in an hour, I got so many gross, terrible stories where it's like, okay, so 3 more hours of this, like, I get it. It's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's real bad.
But that's the problem with physical media is they can take stuff away from you at any time for any reason.
Right.
And even if you agree with The Simpsons pulling the Michael Jackson episode,
and I do,
you never know what the next controversy is going to be. And if you agree with it and if it's an overreaction and all of a sudden you can't watch something.
Me, I feel like once the accusation is out there, you pull whatever you have.
Yeah.
Do whatever you have to
it's
do.
A dangerous, precedent.
You do whatever you have to do with the accusation, either confirm it or deny it. And then once the dust has settled and either you're proven guilty, then your catalog is gone. That's
but
it.
But it's a danger of precedent to have an accusation and then
But
just,
in this situation, you're never going to be able to like
that's
prove
the problem
it like
with
in a court
one.
Of law prove
yeah.
it. Because
well, they tried to.
They Yeah.
And lost, unfortunately.
Right. So and then the other question I was thinking about last night, because my mind just does weird things, is...
that's why you're tired. Take a sleeping pill,
I know,
man.
Right? I lay in bed at night and I think things like, can Weird Al still perform fat?
Nope. To me, no. Fat and eat it both get pulled.
I didn't even think about that.
I feel like he has to. And I feel like he's smart enough to know that at this point, I can't play those songs.
Yeah.
And granted,
and those are two
those
of
are
his
biggest
songs.
Yeah, they are.
Man, that is when you're parodying something, and you know, that's really a tough line to walk.
Yeah.
Like, and because I get both sides, if you argue either
absolutely.
Side, geez, that's
I don't think you can personally.
Yeah. That's
and again, like Weird Al is a smart. Yeah, Weird Al's a genius.
Yeah,
absolutely. When you hear him talk, and
he is a genius, and I think he has his as not socially not as popular as he is now. Like he has his niche. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I feel like he also has his finger on the pulse to know that maybe I should not play those songs
right.
anymore.
Totally, yeah. He knows what he's doing. So, you know, and
Stark raving dad.
Yeah. My last point I want to make on this before we wrap up the box office is, you know, I'm going to the IMDb for the Simpsons episode Stark Raving Dad, which is the one that got pulled.
Right.
And I know the listeners can't see this, but I'm just going to scroll down the credits list for this for Joe to look at.
Yeah.
All these people that worked on this episode and are proud of it. And
yeah.
I mean,
I totally hear you.
It's just, it's a tough thing. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just pointing out.
But here's my question to that. Is that a single episode? Like, do those people only work on that one episode, or did they work on the show the entire
season?
No,
they worked on others. I just mean that still, though, like, they spent months of their lives on this thing.
Yeah, sure.
He didn't write the episode.
Yeah.
He didn't draw the episode.
Right, right.
Like, he did, you know what I mean? Like, so it's a shame when all those people's hard work basically just gets erased.
Over 100 credits on here for this one episode. And I just, you know, it's a shame. So anyway, but we'll leave it at that. And, you know, it's a sad situation all around for everyone. I mean, most certainly the victims, but there's a lot of people that it affects. It's not just even like fans saying like, oh, well, it's just an episode. Like, it goes deeper, but anyway, we'll see what goes on with that craziness. Number 7, Fighting With My Family, another $2.7 million. It's a 42% drop. That one has no overseas budget, so not making too much money. That's for The Rock's, for a Rock production, man. That's a rough box
office.
Here's
the thing. It is a Rock production. He's barely in it. He's not marketed as like the main guy.
He tried.
He did, and I think that's the boost that you see.
Yeah.
So
without it, would you think just been?
I think it would have been swept under the radar. It would have been straight to the WWE Network.
Yeah, totally. Isn't It Romantic coming in at number 8 with $2.2 million. It's a 51% drop. And I apologize for the listeners that are following along. Our box office used to have week numbers, and I don't anymore. So I like to say, oh, it's in its fifth week.
Right.
I'll just have to figure it out since they reconfigured their website, because I hate not having that. But Isn't It Romantic, $44 million. It's a 51% drop.
It's its fourth week.
And it's in fourth week. Thank you, Tom. I got Mr. Google over there, though. So that's good. That one doesn't have any overseas money either. Coming in at number 9, Greta, the movie. What's that?
It's in week 2.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Sorry, I'm not.
I really like
by it. The last movie here, I'll figure out what you're doing.
I give them hand signals. Yeah. I really love it when it's movies in week 1.
He's not using his pointer finger, folks. But yes, Greta is in week 2. It was the movie of the week last week, so that makes sense. $2 million is a 55% drop. That is now up to $8 million domestic, $400,000 overseas, and there you go. And rounding out the top 10, What Men Want in week 5, so still sticking around at least for another week. $1.4 million brings that one up to $52 million domestic, a 49% drop from last week, and it has a $6 or $7 million overseas, so it's going to finish up with around $60, $65 million on a $20 million budget, so not setting the world on fire, but making a few bucks.
I mean, no, it's fine.
So,
and actually, technically, what did you say that made? 1. What?
1.4.
Oh, okay.
This weekend?
I have a different chart. Mine says 1.2, and the only reason I say that is because I'm showing Apollo 11 made 1.4 in limited release, and I thought we should give that something of an honorary mention.
Did you
see
it? Great things about that. Yeah, I haven't seen
it. Not.
This is the IMAX documentary, right?
I mean, yeah, and I think that now that Marvel's out, they're still going to stick around, but you won't see it in IMAX, obviously, Captain Marvel takes all that. But it's still in some theaters, and if it is, I
want to
see it this week.
Out.
I hear it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, people are saying, go see this.
I'm a nerd for like that 70s NASA stuff.
Yeah.
I love that stuff. So
it looked interesting, but I just, like, since the moon landing's fake, I just couldn't.
Oh, jeez.
Kubrick filmed it, right?
I just couldn't get into it. I've never been a Kubrick fan. He just doesn't do much for me. You know?
That first man, what a piece of crap. They didn't show the flag.
Yeah.
God.
Was it The Room? Like, there was something about The
Tommy
Room.
Tommy Wiseau?
No.
Room?
That's Room. But no, there
no,
was some.
No, that's
The Room.
The Room
is Tommy Wiseau.
Brie Larson's movie is Room.
Right. Poor Brie. That's
a good
tough,
movie, though.
That is a good
it's
movie.
Tough watch, but it's a good movie.
But there, like, something has to do with, like, the room number in The Shining is tied to the moon landing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, there's a, it's a doc. Like, it's Room. Okay.
It's
Room 47 or something.
Yeah, Room
227. And if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. It's crazy.
Do you, when you buy the Blu-ray, does it come with a folded up tinfoil hat that you
it
put
does,
on
yes.
to watch the movie?
Yeah. No, you have to make your own, Kevin. You don't want it. You don't want when the man gives you, then it's not going to work.
Do they get, they're messing with my tinfoil hat.
Right, right.
They're not going to work.
No, you got to make your own.
So anyway.
I do, man, conspiracy. That's also kind of my, just cause they're so crazy. I love them.
Who would have imagined?
I love it.
So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, you can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Apple Podcasts, where you can go there and rate, review, and subscribe. Or wherever you get your podcasts, we should be there. If we're not, let us know and we'll fix it.
Yeah.
So also don't forget our Patreon account at patreon.com/realspoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Captain Marvel, if she can be tackled. She's pretty tough.
You mean the Green Lantern?
What?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
And we will be joined by Patreon subscriber Linnea Thunsell. So that's what you have to look forward to. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, you've been warned.
Tell me about this dream.
Anything new?
No.
You have to let go of the past.
I don't remember my past.
It's causing you doubt, and doubt makes you vulnerable. Control it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.